candles held by folks about this high. So just kind of bear that in mind, moms and dads. Maybe this is a great teaching opportunity, that the things you get to do when you get older. Play with fire. Like Pete said, there will be a lot of special music. Tonight is really just a service of scripture reading and song as we come together this evening to celebrate Christ's birth. Remember that after the service, everyone here is invited over to my house, to my wife and my house, for an open house. To the Bailey's house. Excuse me. And if you need directions or an address, just see me on your way out. We'll make sure that you can find your way over there. Really, and it is open to everyone. So even if this is the first time you've ever been to Hope of Christ, you are welcome to come and join us this evening. Stay for as long as you want. As long as you want is as long as I want you to stay. Let's pray before I say anything else. Father God, we are grateful to you for your goodness to us. That you sent your Son, your eternal, one and only begotten Son, into this world to save sinners such as we are. Lord Jesus, we thank you, the light of the world, for shining your light into the darkness of our hearts. We thank you for humbling yourself by taking on our flesh, by being born under the law, submitting yourself to all rules and authority, and submitting yourself perfectly, and yet dying on the cross as though you had broken your own commands. We thank you, Jesus. We pray that even as we are amazed by the miraculous birth of our Savior, we pray that this evening we would celebrate and rejoice in that evening under the shadow of the cross, as we realize that you indeed were born to die so that we might live. Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence here as we worship you, that you would fill our hearts with the peace that passes all understanding, that as even we come to the end of a time of year that is often very chaotic, that you would help us to still and quiet our hearts like a weaned child with its mother. Thank you for this privilege we have of worshiping you this evening together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First reading tonight comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Jesus' birth. And so the shepherds traveled.
kings, Lord of lords, is he. They sang, rejoice, rejoice, today the Christ is born, peace on earth.
Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. It all seems so simple and ordinary. An imperial edict, a pregnant teenager, a soon-to-be husband in a town full of people simply following the law of the land. Ordinary events of history ordained by God as part of the greatest miracle in the history of the world. The Son of God being born as a child in the city of David. And it all happened when time came. In Galatians 4, 4 through 5, Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." God, who rules history, entered our history to claim us and all our sorrows as his own. This Christmas morning, join the Apostle Paul as he proclaims the gloriousness of the gospel, Galatians 3:16. "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." And join the Apostle John as he prays in response to Jesus' proclamation, "Surely I am coming soon," with the following, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Now, kids, if you want to come down, somebody's going to be reading a story. Thank you.
So the three wise men follow the star out of the big city, along the road, into the little town of Bethlehem. They follow the star through the streets of Bethlehem, out of the nice part of town, through the not-so-nice part of town, into the really not-nice-at-all part of town, down to a little dirt track, until it stopped right over a little house. But wait, it wasn't a house. And there weren't any guards, or servants, or flags, or red carpets, or trumpets, or anything like that at all. Did they get it wrong? Or was this what God really meant? Sure enough, in that little house, there sitting on his mother's knee, they found him, the baby. The three men knelt before the little king. They took off their rich royal turbans and gleaming golden crowns. They bowed their noble heads to the ground, and they gave him their sparkling treasures. The journey had begun so many centuries before that led the three wise men here, to a little town, a little house, to this little child, to the king God had promised David all those years. But this child was a new kind of king. Though he was the prince of heaven, he had been mighty poor. Though he was the mighty God, he had become a helpless baby. Though the king hadn't come to be boss, this king had come to be a servant. Let's take a quick peek at this last picture. Your seats now. Thank you very much.
In the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way."
Bear with us as I find the page. Sorry. I thought it was mine.
God rest ye, Mary. As we sing O Holy Night, we will be taking the deacons will be coming forward and taking a special offering for the widows of the PCA.
Grateful for his grace.
just wanted briefly this evening, before we just spend some time singing some traditional Christmas carols together by the light of candlelight, just reflect a little bit on the reason for Christmas, the gift of Christmas. If any of you have been involved in a classroom or any kind of setting where, whether it's at work or at school or at a co-op, where at this time you have these gift exchanges. And maybe you draw a name, maybe just all the gifts go into a kitty. And there's always this concern over these gift exchanges. Your first concern is that you are going to get a better gift than you gave. That's a pretty embarrassing thing to happen at a gift exchange. These are people you work with or you go to school with, and you're going to see them again at the end of the holiday season. But then, pretty quickly after that, your next concern is that you're actually going to get a worse gift than you gave. And so if you, you go to those gift exchanges, I know that, I would think long and hard as a child over what to give, and I'd often get that three-pack Matchbox car set, the cars that I myself would want, and I always seem to draw the orange from the gift exchange. And I always wondered what kind of parent sends their kid with an orange to a gift exchange? Now, if you're one of those kinds of parents, we can talk later. But I was thinking about the gift exchange, the exchange of gifts between Christ and ourselves. And I was thinking of kind of eight different ways in which what Christ received, not only was it far worse, or to put it in a more positive way, what we received as a benefit because of what Christ received is so much better, but it was almost the exact opposite. And so I just want to look at 16 passages in 5 minutes, I promise. The first two passages are Luke 2:11 and John 1:12. In Luke 2:11 it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And in John 1:12 we're told, "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And you realize that in this first exchange, Jesus underwent a human birth so that you could have a spiritual birth. Jesus took on a human birth so that in exchange you could have a spiritual birth through him. Second, in Luke 2:7, we read, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And then also in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I wouldn't have told you that I go and prepare a place for you." The second exchange, the realization that when Christ came to earth, born as a baby, there was not even a spare room for him when he was born. And in exchange for that, Christ makes the promise to us that he always has plenty of room for us, that in fact he goes ahead of us to prepare a room for us in his Father's mansion. The third exchange is in Matthew 2:11 and in Galatians 3:26. "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother." Galatians 3:26, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." Jesus became a member of a human family. Mary was truly his mother. Jesus became a member of a human family so that in Christ you could become a member of the heavenly family. You are children of God in Christ Jesus. In the fourth exchange, we see in Luke chapter 2 and in Galatians chapter 5. In Luke 2:51, we read, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. This is speaking of Jesus as a young boy in relation to his parents. And then in Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Jesus made himself a subject to others and to the law so that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, might be freed from the law. The fifth exchange is found in Philippians chapter 2 and in 1 Peter chapter 5. Speaking of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And in 1 Peter 5:4 we read, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus laid aside his glory so that you could receive from the Father's hand a crown of glory. The sixth point is in Matthew 8 and in 2 Corinthians 8. In Matthew 8:20 we read, and Jesus said to them, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Jesus on earth was so poor that he didn't even have a home that he could call his own. And he does this for our sake. For your sake, Jesus becomes poor so that in him you may be rich. The seventh exchange is in Luke chapter 2 and in Luke chapter 15. In Luke 2:16 we read, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Luke 15 tells us, so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This might seem a little more obscure, but Jesus' earthly birth was celebrated and rejoiced over by shepherds, the lowest of humans in the society at the time. They were considered the dregs of society. Whereas you, when you are reborn, when you first repent of your sins, when you are given birth in the heavenly places, the angels themselves, the highest created beings, throw a party. They rejoice over your spiritual birth. And finally, the eighth exchange. In Matthew 2:13, we read, now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, we read, since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus was pursued by an evil ruler in order to deliver us from a far more evil ruler, from Satan himself, and from his power, and from death. Jesus endured a human birth so that you could have a spiritual birth. Jesus did not even have a spare room to be born in so that you might have room in his Father's mansion. Jesus had an earthly mother so that you could have a heavenly Father. Jesus became subject to the law so that you might be free from the law. Jesus left his glory in order to give us glory. Jesus was poor so that you might become rich. Jesus' birth was celebrated by shepherds so that your birth, your rebirth, would be celebrated by angels. Jesus was hunted by Herod so that we could be delivered from Satan's grasp. All of this leads to the greatest exchange that we remember at Christmas time. Jesus' life for yours. Jesus gave his life for your sin so that you could be forgiven. Jesus gave his life to purchase yours for God so that you could be a child of God. If you have not taken part in that greatest lopsided gift exchange, I would invite you to consider that this Christmas season. Receive Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection and give him in exchange your life. It will be the greatest lopsided gift exchange that you will never regret. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are truly amazed and we pray, God, that through the beauty of the lights and the gathering of family, the celebration of parties, we would not lose sight of the amazing exchange that you made on our behalf, giving us your righteousness, taking our sin, dying for us so that we might live for you. We pray, God, that you would fill us with awe and wonder and amazement, not merely at a birth, a miraculous birth that took place 2,000 years ago, but at the miraculous birth you have gifted to us by calling us your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand up and sing these songs together.
Thank you. Thank you.
Christmas, the peace that has been offered through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be yours not just through this holiday, but throughout this year and on into the ages. Amen.